My very worthy cousin, fairly met. Our faithful friend, we're
happy to return be to your royal grace.
Many and hearty thankings to you both. We've made inquiry of you, and we hear such goodness of your justice that our soul cannot but yield you forth to public thanks for running more requital.
You make my bonds still greater.
Oh, your desert speaks loud. And I should wrong it to lock it in the wards of covert bosom when it deserves, with characters of brass, a ported residence against the tooth of time and razor of oblivion. Give me your hand, and let the subject see, to make them know that outward courtesies would fain proclaim favors that keep within. Come, Aeschylus, you must walk by us on our other hand, and good supporters are you.
Now is your time. Speak loud and kneel before him.
Justice, O royal duke, veil your regard upon a wronged, I would fain have said a maid. O worthy prince, dishonor not your eye by throwing it on any other object till you have heard me in my true complaint, and give me justice, 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 justice.
Relate your wrongs. In what? By whom? Be brief. Here is Lord Angelo shall give you justice. Reveal yourself to him.
Oh, worthy duke, you bid me seek redemption of the devil. Hear me yourself. For that which I must speak must either punish me not being believed, or wring redress from you. Hear me, oh, hear me here.
My lord, her wits, I fear me, are not firm. She hath been a suitor to me for her brother, cut off by course of justice.
By course of justice.
And she will speak most bitterly and strange.
Most strange. But yet most truly will I speak, that Angelo's forsworn, is it not strange? That Angelo's a murderer, is not strange? That Angelo is an adulterous thief, a hypocrite, a virgin violator, is it not strange and strange?
It is 10 times strange.
It is not truer he is Angelo than this is all as true as it is strange. Nay, it is 10 times true, for truth is truth to the end of reckoning.
Away with her, poor soul. She speaks this in the infirmity of sense.
O prince, I conjure thee, as thou believest there is another comfort than this world, that thou neglect me not with that opinion that I am touched with madness. Make not impossible that which but seems unlike. 'Tis not impossible but one the wickedest caitiff on the ground may seem as shy, as grave, as just, as absolute as Angelo. Even so may Angelo, in all his dressings, characters, titles, forms, be an arch villain. Believe it, royal prince, if he be less, he's nothing, but he's more, had I more name for badness.
By mine honesty, if she be mad, as I believe no other, her madness hath the oddest frame of sense, such a dependency of thing on thing, as e'er I heard in madness.
O gracious duke, harp not on that, nor do not banish reason for inequality, but let your reason serve to make the truth appear where it seems hid, and hide the false seems true.
Many that are not mad have sure more lack of reason. What would you say?
I am the sister of one Claudio, condemned upon the act of fornication to lose his head, condemned by Angelo. I, in probation of a sisterhood, was sent to by my brother. One Lucio was then the messenger.
That I am, like your grace. I came to her from Claudio and desired her to try her gracious fortune with Lord Angelo for her poor brother's pardon.
That's he indeed.
You were not bid to speak?
No, my good lord, nor wish to hold my peace.
I wish you now, then. Pray you take note of it. When you've a business for yourself, pray heaven you then be perfect.
I warrant, your honor.
The warrant's for yourself, take heed on't.
This gentleman told somewhat of my tale.
Right.
It may be right, but you are the wrong to speak before your time. Proceed.
I went to this pernicious caitiff deputy.
That's somewhat madly spoken.
Pardon it, the phrase is to the matter.
Mend it again, the matter. Proceed.
In brief, to set the needless process by, how I persuaded, how I prayed and kneeled, how he refelled me, and how I replied, for this was of much length. The vile conclusion I now begin with grief and shame to utter. He would not, but by gift of my chaste body, to his concupiscible intemperate lust, release my brother. And after much debatement, my sisterly remorse confutes mine honor, And I did yield to him. But the next morn betimes, his purpose surfeiting, he sends a warrant for my poor brother's head.
This is most likely.
Oh, that it were as like as it is true.
By heaven, fond wretch, thou knowest not what thou speakst, or else thou art suborned against his honor in hateful practice. First, his integrity stands without blemish. Next, it imports no reason that with such vehemency he should pursue faults proper to himself. If he had so offended, he would have weighed thy brother by himself and not have cut him off. Someone hath set you on, confess the truth, and say by whose advice thou camest here to complain.
And is this all? Then, oh, you blessed ministers above, keep me in patience, and with ripened time unfold the evil which is here wrapped up in countenance. Heaven shield your grace from woe. As I, thus wronged, hence unbelieved go.
I know thou'd fain be gone. An officer, to prison with her. Shall we thus permit a blasting and a scandalous breath to fall on him so near us? This needs must be a practice. Who knew of your intent and coming hither?
One that I would were here, Friar Lodovic.
A ghostly father, belike. Who knows that Lodovic?
My lord, I know him. 'Tis a meddling friar. I do not like the man. Had he been lay, my lord, for certain words he spake against your grace in your retirement, I had swinged him soundly.
Words against me? 'Tis a good friar, belike. And set on this wretched woman here against our substitute. Let this friar be found.
But yesternight, my lord, she and that friar, I saw them at the prison. A saucy friar, a very scurvy fellow.
Blessed be your royal grace. I have stood by, my lord, and I have heard your royal ear abused. First hath this woman most wrongfully accused your substitute, who is as free from touch or soil with her as she from one ungot.
We do believe no less. Know you that Friar Lodovic that she speaks of?
I know him for a man divine and holy. Not scurvy, nor a temporary meddler, as he's reported by this gentleman. And on my trust, a man that never yet did, as he vouches, misreport your grace.
My lord, most villainously, believe.
Well, he in time may come to clear himself. But at this instant he is sick, my lord, of a strange fever. Upon his mere request, being come to knowledge that there was complaint intended against Lord Angelo, came I hither to speak as from his mouth what he doth know is true and false, and what he with his oath and all probation will make up full clear whensoever he's convented. First, for this woman. To justify this worthy nobleman so vulgarly and personally accused, her shall you hear disprove it to her eyes till she herself confess it.
Good friar, let's hear it. Do you not smile at this, Lord Angelo? Oh, heaven, the vanity of wretched fools. Give us some seats. Come, cousin Angelo, in this I'll be impartial. Be you judge of your own cause. Is this the witness, friar? First, let her show her face, and after speak.
Pardon, my lord, I will not show my face until my husband bid me.
What? Are you married?
No, my lord.
Are you a maid?
No, my lord.
A widow, then?
Neither, my lord.
Why, you are nothing, then. Neither maid, widow, nor wife?
My lord, she may be a punk, for many of them are neither maid, widow, nor wife.
Silence that fellow. I would he had some cause to prattle for himself.
Well, my lord.
My lord, I do confess I ne'er was married. And I confess, besides, I am no maid. I have known my husband, yet my husband knows not that ever he knew me.
He was drunk then, my lord. It can be no better.
For the benefit of silence, would thou wert so too.
Well, my lord.
This is no witness for Lord Angelo.
Now I come to it, my lord. She that accuses him of fornication, in self-same manner doth accuse my husband, and charges him, my lord, with such a time when I'll depose I had him in mine arms with all the effects of love.
Charges she more than me?
Not that I know.
No? You say your husband?
Why, just, my lord, and that is Angelo, who thinks he knows that he ne'er knew my body, but knows he thinks that he knows Isabel.
This is a strange abuse. Let's see thy face.
My husband bids me. Now I will unmask. This is that face, thou cruel Angelo, which once thou swore'st was worth the looking on.
This is the hand which, with a vowed contract, was falsely locked in thine. This is the body that took away the match from Isabel and did supply thee at thy garden house in her imagined person.
Know you this woman?
Carnally, she says.
Sirrah, no more.
Enough, my lord.
My lord, I must confess I know this woman, and 5 years since there was some speech of marriage betwixt myself and her, which was broke off, partly for that her promised proportions came short of composition, but in chief for that her reputation was disvalued in levity, since which time of 5 years I never spake with her, saw her, nor heard from her, upon my faith and honor.
Noble prince, as there comes light from heaven and words from breath, as there is sense in truth and truth in virtue, I am affianced this man's wife, as strongly as words could make up vows. And, my good lord, but Tuesday night last gone in garden house, he knew me as his wife. As this is true, let me in safety raise me from my knees, or else forever be confixed here, a marble monument.
I did but smile till now. Now, good my lord, give me the scope of justice. My patience here is touched. I do perceive these poor informal women are no more but instruments of some more mightier member that sets them on. Let me have way, my lord, to find this practice out.
I, with my heart, and punish them to your height of pleasure. Thou foolish friar, and thou pernicious woman, compact with her that's gone, think'st thou thy oaths, though they would swear down each particular saint, were testimonies against his worth and credit that sealed in approbation? You, Lord Aeschylus, sit with my cousin. Lend him your kind pains to find out this abuse, whence 'tis derived. There is another friar that set them on. Let him be sent for.
Would he were here, my lord, for he indeed hath set the women onto this complaint. Your provost knows the place where he abides, and he may fetch him.
Go do it instantly. And you, my noble and well-warranted cousin, whom it concerns to hear this matter forth, do with your injuries as seems you best in any chastisement. I for a while will leave you, but stir not you till you have well determined upon these slanderers.
My lord, we'll do it truly. Signor Lucio, did not you say you knew that Friar Lodovic to be a dishonest person?
Cuculus non facit monarchum, honest in nothing but in his clothes, and one that hath spoke most villainous speeches of the Duke.
We shall entreat you to abide here till he come, and enforce them against him. We shall find this friar a notable fellow.
As any in Vienna, on my word.
Call that same Isabel here once again. I would speak with her. Pray you, my lord, give me leave to question. You shall see how I'll handle her.
Not better than he, by her own report.
Say you?
Marry, sir, I think if you handled her privately, she would sooner confess. Perchance publicly she'll be ashamed.
I will go darkly to work with her.
That's the way, for women are light at midnight.
Come on, mistress. Here's a gentlewoman, denies all that you have said.
My lord, here comes the rascal I spoke of, here with the provost.
In very good time. Speak not you to him till we call upon you.
Mum.
Come, sir. Did you set these women on to slander Lord Angelo? They have confessed you did.
'Tis false.
How? Know you where you are?
Respect to your great place, and let the devil be sometime honored for his burning throne. Where is the Duke? 'Tis he should hear me speak.
The Duke's in us, and we will hear you speak. Look you, speak justly.
Boldly, at least. But, oh, poor souls, come you to seek the lamb here of the fox? Good night to your redress. Is the Duke gone? Then is your cause gone too. The Duke's unjust, thus to retort your manifest appeal and put your trial in the villain's mouth, which here you come to accuse.
This is the rascal. This is he I spoke of.
Why, thou unreverend and unhallowed friar, it's not enough thou hast suborned these women to accuse this worthy man, but in foul mouth, and in the witness of his proper ear, to call him villain, and then to glance from him to the Duke himself, to tax him with injustice? Take him hence, to the rack with him. We'll touse you joint by joint, but we will know his purpose. What? Unjust.
Be not so hot. The Duke dare no more stretch this finger of mine than he dare rack his own.
His subject am I not, nor here provincial. My business in the state made me a looker on here in Vienna, where I have seen corruption boil and bubble till it all run the stew. Laws for all faults, but faults so countenanced that the strong statutes stand like the forfeits in a barber's shop, as much in mocker's mark.
Slander to the state, away with him to prison.
What can you back against him, Signor Lucio? Is this the man that you did tell us of?
Tis he, my lord. Come hither, goodman Baldpate. Do you know me?
I remember you, sir. By the sound of your voice, I met you at the prison in the absence of the Duke.
Oh, did you so? And do you remember what you said of the Duke?
Most notedly, sir.
Do you so, sir? And was the Duke a fleshmonger, a fool, and a coward, as you then reported him to be?
You must, sir, change persons with me ere you make that my report. You indeed spoke so of him, and much more, much worse.
Oh, thou damnable fellow! Did I not pluck thee by the nose for thy speeches?
I protest I love the Duke as I love myself.
Hark how the villain would close now after his treasonable abuses.
Oh, such a fellow is not to be talked with all. Away with him to prison. Where is the provost? Away with him to prison. Lay bolts enough upon him. Let him speak no more. Away with those giglets too, and with the other confederate companion.
Stay, sir, stay a while.
What resist he? Help him, Lucio.
Come, sir, come, sir, come, sir. Flow, sir, why, you bald-pated lying rascal. You must be hooded, must you? Show your knave's visage with a pox to you. Show your sheep-biting face and be hanged an hour. Wilt not off?
Thou art the first knave that e'er madest a duke. First, provost. Let me bail these gentle three. Sneak not away, sir, for the friar and you must have a word anon. Lay hold on him.
This may prove worse than hanging.
What you have spoken, I pardon, Aeschylus. Sit you down. We'll borrow place of Angelo. Sir, by your leave. Hast thou or word or wit or impudence that yet can do thee office? If thou hast, rely upon it till my tale be heard, and hold no longer out.
Oh, my dread lord, I should be guiltier than my guiltiness to think I can be undiscernible when I perceive your grace, like power divine, hath looked upon my passes. Then, good prince, no longer session hold upon my shame, but let my trial be mine own confession. Immediate sentence then, and sequent death, is all the grace I beg.
Come hither, Mariana. Say, wast thou e'er contracted to this woman?
I was, my lord.
Go take her hence, and marry her instantly. Do you the office, friar, which can sum it, return him here again. Go with him, provost.
My lord, I am more amazed at his dishonor and at the strangeness of it.
Come hither, Isabel. Your friar is now your prince. As I was then advertising unholy to your business, not changing heart with habit, I am still attorneyed at your service.
Oh, give me pardon that I, your vassal, have employed and pained your unknown sovereignty.
You are pardoned, Isabel. And now, dear maid, be you as free to us. Your brother's death, I know, sits at your heart, and you may marvel why I obscured myself laboring to save his life, and would not rather make rash remonstrance of my hidden power than let him so be lost. Oh, most kind maid, it was the swift celerity of his death, which I did think with slower foot came on, that brained my purpose. But peace be with him. That life is better life, past fearing death, than that which lives to fear. Make it your comfort. So happy is your brother.
I do, my lord.
For this new married man approaching here, whose salt imagination yet hath wronged your well-defended honor, you must pardon for Mariana's sake. But as he adjudged your brother, being criminal in double violation of sacred chastity and of promised breach, thereon dependent, for your brother's life, the very mercy of the law cries out, most audible, even from his proper tongue, an Angelo for Claudio, death for death.
Haste still pays haste, and leisure answers leisure. Like doth quit like, and measure still for measure. Then, Angelo, thy faults thus manifested, which, though thou wouldst deny, denies the advantage, we do condemn thee to the very block where Claudio stooped to death, and with like haste. Away with him!
Oh, my most gracious lord, I hope you will not mock me with a husband.
It is your husband mocked you with a husband. Consenting to the safeguard of your honor, I thought your marriage fit, else imputation for that he knew you might reproach your life and choke your good to come. For his possessions, although by confiscation they are ours, we do in state and widow you withal to buy you a better husband.
Oh, my dear lord, I crave no other, nor no better man.
Never crave him. We are definitive.
Gentle, my liege.
You do but lose your labor. Away with him to death. Now, Lucio, to you.
Oh, my good lord. Sweet Isabel, take my part. Lend me your knees. And all my life to come, I'll lend you all my life to do you service.
Against all sense, you in her. Should she kneel down in mercy of this fact, her brother's ghost, his paved bed would break and take her hence in horror.
Isabel, sweet Isabel, do yet but kneel by me. Hold up your hands. Say nothing. I'll speak all. They say best men are molded out of faults, and for the most, become much more the better for being a little bad. So may my husband. Oh, Isabel, will you not lend the knee?
He dies for Claudio's death.
Most bounteous sir, look, if it please you, on this man condemned, as if my brother lived. I partly think a due sincerity governed his deeds till he did look on me. Since it is so, let him not die. My brother had but justice in that he did the thing for which he died. For Angelo, his act did not o'ertake his bad intent, and must be buried but as an intent that perished by the way. Thoughts are no subjects, intents but merely thoughts.
Merely, my lord.
Your suit unprofitable. Stand up, I say. I have bethought me of another fault. Provost, how came it Claudio was beheaded at an unusual hour?
It was commanded so.
Had you a special warrant for the deed?
No, my good lord, it was by private message.
For which I do discharge you of your office. Give up your keys.
Pardon me, noble lord. I thought it was a fault, knew it not. Yet did repent me, after more advice, for testimony whereof one in the prison that should by private order else have died, I have reserved alive.
What's he?
His name is Barnardine.
I wouldst thou had done so by Claudio. Go fetch him hither. Let me look upon him.
I am sorry one so learned and so wise as you, Lord Angelo, have still appeared, should slip so grossly, both in the heat of blood and lack of tempered judgment. Afterward,
I am sorry that such sorrow I procure, and so deep sticks it in my penitent heart that I crave death more willingly than mercy. It is my deserving, and I do entreat it.
Which is that, Barnardine?
This, my lord.
There was a friar told me of this man. Sirrah, thou art said to have a stubborn soul that apprehends no further than this world and squarest thy life according. Thou art condemned, but for these earthly faults I quit them all, and pray thee take this mercy to provide for better times to come. Friar, advise him, I leave him to your hand. What muffled fellow's that?
This is another prisoner that I saved, who should have died when Claudio lost his head, as like almost to Claudio as himself.
If he be like your brother, for his sake is he pardoned. And for your lovely sake, give me your hand and say you will be mine. He is my brother too, but fitter time for that. By this, Lord Angelo perceives he's safe. Methinks I see a quickening in his eye. Well, Angelo, your evil quits you well. Look that you love your wife, her worth yours. I find an apt remission in myself. And yet here's one in place I cannot pardon. You, sinner, that knew me for a fool, a coward, one all of luxury, an ass, a madman, wherein have I deserved so of you that you extol me thus?
Faith, my lord, I spoke it but according to the trick. If you will hang me for it, you may, but I'd rather it would please you I might be whipped.
Whipped first, sir, and hanged after. Proclaim it, provost, round about the city. If any woman wronged by this lewd fellow, as I have heard him swear himself there's one whom he begot with child, let her appear, and he shall marry her. The nuptials finished, let him be whipped and hanged.
I beseech your highness, do not marry me to a whore. Your highness said even now I made you a duke. Good, my lord, do not recompense me in making me a cuckold.
Upon mine honor, thou shalt marry her. Thy slanders I forgive, and therewithal remit thy other forfeits. Take him to prison, and see our pleasure therein executed.
Marrying a punk, my lord, is pressing to death, whipping and hanging.
Slandering a prince deserves it. She, Claudio, that you wronged, look you restore. Joy to you, Mariana. Love her, Angelo. I have confessed her, and I know her virtue. Thanks, good friend Aeschylus, for thy much goodness. There's more behind that is more gratulate. Thanks, provost, for thy care and secrecy. We shall employ thee in a worthier place. Forgive him, Angelo, that brought you home the head of Ragozine for Claudio's. The offense pardons itself. Dear Isabel, I have a motion much imports your good, whereto, if you'll a willing ear incline, what's mine is yours, and what is yours is mine. So, bring us to our palace, where we'll show what's yet behind that's meet you all should know.